It's that most wonderful time of the year, approaching some holiday, but it's the moment we get to talk to Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, food maverick, food man.
I'm not a maverick. In fact, I'm a traditionalist, if anything.
Which is very mavericky these days, P.S.
Maybe that's true.
So
that may be true. I mean, I look around at the recipes that are appearing in various media, and I say, I wouldn't cook that.
Likewise.
But then again, I've come to grips with the fact that I like my own cooking best. And this, I never leave the house for spaghetti, except one exception. Cacio e pepe. You know what cacio e pepe is?
I do, and we used to have somebody who made it just phenomenally well here.
Well, that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
It's nothing but pecorino cheese, grated sheep's milk cheese, pepper, and pasta cooking water. The goal is to make a creamy cheese sauce that coats the pasta. I have a young friend named Diego, who not so long ago moved from his parents' house into his own apartment with a roommate in Manhattan. And he is now cooking for himself, not so much for his roommate, he explained. His roommate and he are on different schedules. So, in essence, he's cooking for himself because his roommate doesn't come home until like 2. He works at home. He eats dinner at his hour. Roommate does. Anyway, so... But being a young, not growing anymore, as he points out, only width-wise, he eats a half a pound of pasta. And his favorite pasta, or close to favorite pasta, is cacio e pepe, which he eats in a restaurant in his neighborhood in Lower Manhattan. And I must say, when I want cacio e pepe, and every once in a while I do want that particular dish, I go to a restaurant in my neighborhood that does it okay. Now they do it better than I do it, let's put it that way. But for me, this simple, simple-sounding recipe is the hardest thing to make. And, of course, that's what my young friend wanted to learn. So I practiced a little bit last week, not totally successfully. One of them wasn't bad. None of it ever is bad, let me say this, except there's one thing that happens. If the cheese really clumps up, that can be bad. I mean, it's certainly something you don't want to eat, really. But anyway, I have a neighborhood restaurant that does it pretty well, and the only thing is I don't necessarily like the pasta they're putting it on. So I'm very particular about what condimento, that's how Italians think of the thing that flavors the pasta, whether it be sauce or something else. It's the condimento. Implying, of course, in the English equivalent word condiment, that there's not too much of it. Anyway, Diego is this young man's name. Diego wanted to learn cacio e pepe, carbonara, which I do very well, I have to say, and amatriciana. Those are the three of the four or five main pastas of Rome. I laugh about this lately because used to be, when I was learning in my early years, everybody used to say, oh, Rome doesn't have a cuisine of its own. But it does, very much. And these days, those Roman, very typically Roman pastas that I just named, did I say amatriciana too, are trendy. I mean, and in New York, particularly trendy. I mean, in Rome, they're not trendy because they've always been there. On the other hand, there are new ways, I find, of serving those dishes. For instance, in the old days, you didn't get a carbonara, which has nothing but pork fat coming from either guanciale, pork cheeks, or pancetta, pork belly, one or the other. Traditionally, it was guanciale. These days, you can get pancetta. Pancetta, we're talking carbonara, cheese, preferably pecorino romano, which is a typical Roman grating cheese, actually from Sardinia these days. I did visit more than once the last dairy, so to speak, that in within the city of Rome that made pecorino. Of course, the owners were from Sardinia, the workers were from Sardinia, but they were doing it in Rome. Anyway, it's basically bacon, eggs, and pork fat. I mean, and cheese.
The ingredients for that, and the ingredients for all three pastas are about as basic as you can get.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I always have some kind of pork fat in the fridge.
Right.
I always have eggs, although I did seem to run out of eggs a couple weeks ago. I was amazed that I went to make something. I needed three eggs, and I didn't have three eggs. But anyway, I'm hardly ever without eggs. Yeah, they're all very basic ingredients. But to make cacio e pepe requires some skill, because here's what happens. I know how to do it, but I don't know how to do it because I'm rarely successful. 20 years ago.
I'm sorry. Do you remember the? It's all in the wrist. I can't remember where that came from, but it's all in the wrist. You know.
Well, it probably is because, but it's also in the temperature of the pasta cooking water that you add to the cheese. It can't be too hot, but it's got to be just hot enough to melt the cheese into a creamy. Actually, there's a word for this, cremina, a little cream.
Right.
Cremina is a diminutive, so it's a little cream, cremina. No cream in it. It's just cheese and starchy pasta cooking water and a lot of pepper. And now, some of the refinements of this dish lately are that you toast the pepper before adding it to the rest of the ingredients. You know what? I've never done it. I'm not going to do it. It's one of those dishes that I make because it's easy, and I'm not going to, make it even more. I mean, we're talking about either carbonara or cacio e pepe, because carbonara should have a significant amount of freshly ground black pepper. Some people say that's why it's called carbonara, because it looks like flecks of carbon or, burnt wood. There are other reasons, too, like it's the dish of the people who used to go to the mountains to make charcoal. Anyway, whatever the reason for the name, and of course Italians have many fanciful stories involved, whatever the name is, it's got a significant amount of black pepper. So carbonara is one of my favorite things, and I do it very well. So here's how I do it. 4 ounces of pancetta, you render it out in a small pan. I've discovered that it gets nice and crispy if it's cooking in its own fat, but if you put it in too big a pan, it doesn't really get submerged in its own fat. So I like to do it in a small pan. We tested this yesterday when I was teaching Diego, and the store-bought minced pancetta from Citerio, which is generally a good product, besides that it didn't have much flavor, it didn't have much fat, and it didn't really render out much fat. I do buy pancetta by the fat content. I try to buy fatty pancetta. Guanciale, which is cheek, is mostly fat, and in fact, that's the traditional pork product used, cured pork cheek. And I had that in the house, too, but we didn't render it out. But I did last week, and it renders out beautifully. And then you get little crispy cubes or lardons, meaning sticks, of crispy guanciale. And you can fish that out of the fat. So we're making carbonara, right? By the way, in the early 80s, Calvin Trillin wrote a very funny piece for The New Yorker. Well, everything he writes is funny. For The New Yorker, about how we should be making spaghetti alla carbonara the Thanksgiving centerpiece and not a turkey. I could make an argument for that. I actually did it a few Thanksgivings ago. We ate carbonara for Thanksgiving, and I wouldn't mind doing
delicious.
It again this
should,
year. What?
By the way, I have family members that that have pasta on Thanksgiving.
Well, I mean, if you're Italian-American...
No.
I just asked...
They're not. They just are not turkey fanatics. They don't like turkey.
They don't like turkey. Well, you know what? We don't either. It's not that we don't like it, but we certainly don't crave it. And it doesn't seem to be a feast food for me because since it became diet food, I don't see why it's still feast food. But yeah, so carbonara. Let me finish the carbonara. So this is for 12 ounces of spaghetti, 4 ounces of guanciale or pancetta, rendered out. And then I mix in a bowl, in the pasta bowl that I'm going to mix it all in together, 3 eggs, two whole eggs and 1 egg yolk. And you beat that with about a cup of, I like pecorino, so I do pecorino. But if you want, you can do a mixture of Parmigiano and pecorino or all Parmigiano, grated cheese. Grana Padana is a very good choice also. So grated cheese, you beat it all together, lots and lots of freshly ground black pepper, and I like mine a little coarsely ground. As I explained to Diego, pepper mills all have personalities, and I have pepper mills that will only grind fine, and I have ones that will only grind coarse. So for this, I use the coarse. And you beat it all together in your pasta cooking bowl. As soon as your pasta is cooked, scoop out a cup of the starchy pasta cooking water, put it aside, drain the pasta as usual in a colander, and then this is how I do it. I put the pasta back in the pot that it was boiled in, and I pour on the fat that has rendered from my either guanciale or pancetta, and I toss that with the pasta, and I want to temper the eggs in the pasta bowl, so you could just take like a scoop, a tongful of hot pasta, and put it in with your eggs and mix it up. It warms up the eggs a little bit. And the whole point here is to get the egg and cheese mixture to coat the pasta, but not to scramble, not to be so hot that it's going to cook the eggs, into a hard state. You want them, leave them creamy. And that's it. You toss it all together, toss, toss, toss. You can serve it with a little bit. That, by the way, 12 ounces of pasta like that is 4 nice servings. You know, Americans and, Diego is in his early 20s, and he's tall and skinny. And he can take 8 ounces. I asked him, how much do you eat? Well, he eats a half a pound of pasta at a time. If I have more than 3 ounces, I'm stuffed. So it's not that I've trained myself, but 3 ounces is a generous serving, and I put it in a proper pasta bowl, which in Italian is called a piatto fondo, meaning a deep plate. It's not really a bowl, but a deep plate. And a standard deep plate holds 3 ounces of pasta, slightly mounded in the middle. So that looks ample. Anyway, Diego ate 4 portions like that. So he ate a pound of pasta yesterday. I guess he went home and didn't eat dinner. I didn't eat dinner. Anyway, we ate a lot of spaghetti, and the cacio e pepe, of course, did not come out correctly. The carbonara was delicious. So I'm stuck with this proportion now of 2 whole eggs and 1 egg yolk for 12 ounces of pasta. And then I made my amatriciana, which I'm famous for, even among my Neapolitan and Roman friends. And I use 4 ounces of fatty pancetta for that. Now, not all pancetta is cured alike, let's say, because if I go out of my way, I can buy some superb pancetta, a flat type of pancetta, not the roll. Or rolled pancetta that you can buy in many markets. The flat pancetta that I buy, definitely you can get it on Arthur Avenue in the Bronx at Biancardi, the pork store. I think they even make it there. They have a kind coated with hot red pepper, and they have a kind coated with black pepper. I like both. For amatriciana, which is a red tomato sauce, a base sauce, I do put red pepper in it anyway. So I like the red pepper one. And for carbonara, I would take the black pepper one. But they're really superior to pretty much anything I can buy in my neighborhood in the various markets I shop in. And everybody had some kind of pancetta in this neighborhood. I don't know what that means. It used to be a product you had to go out of your way for. Guanciale I can buy in my neighborhood. It's from a company in Jersey City, and I have to say it's pretty good. It's got some herbs on the outside. So that makes a great carbonara. It really depends on the pancetta, I think. Everything else remains pretty much the same. As far as pecorino goes, I did a tasting of pecorinos years ago, and it was five different sheep's milk cheeses, unidentified. And the one that got picked by the several people who were tasting with me and me was the one that's the most well-distributed, Locatelli. I mean, some people think that's the kind of cheese it is, in fact. It's so ubiquitous. But Locatelli is a brand of pecorino. So, and that's pretty much the cheese I use these days. I don't go out of my way to find something exotic, since I know that the one that is in my supermarket is as good as anything. And by the way, a pecorino is much cheaper than Parmigiano, which is quite expensive, often less than $10 a pound for pecorino. Anyway, I don't know what we're doing for Thanksgiving this year. I don't think we're having carbonara, but...
What about a mastriano? So did you give the... So
what?
You're a mastriana. You're a matriciana.
Oh, amatriciana. Oh, did I start that
and
not finish? I do that often, don't I? So 4 ounces of pancetta rendered out before it starts browning. Now, in the case of a carbonara... where you're cooking with pancetta or guanciale, you can crisp it up and take it out of the fat. In the case of amatriciana, I want to cook my tomatoes in the pork fat, and you could take it out and put it as a crispy garnish at the end, but I leave it in because I like to put a little onion in mine.
Right.
So just as I think it sweetens the whole thing up a little bit, but a very little. Yesterday I used a half of a small onion. Maybe it came out to 3 tablespoons of onion. You put the onion in before it gets brown, the pancetta gets brown, and then cook the onion until it's tender. The onion will prevent the pancetta from browning because it's got a lot of moisture. So when the onion is tender, it takes like 6 or 8 minutes on relatively low heat. I then add a 28-ounce can of plum tomatoes. Now, I crush my tomatoes right in the skillet. Diego loved this, and wouldn't anybody. You don't have to clean another container. I put the tomatoes directly into the skillet with the cooked-out pancetta and a little bit of onion, and I use my potato masher to crush them in the pan. If you want, I sometimes am in the mood. I crush them myself by hand, with my hand, in a bowl, and then pour them in. But, you know, I find the potato masher works very well, and I don't have to clean another vessel.
Do you simmer that together. Any liquid
Pardon
that's
me?
In there as well?
Pardon me?
You use the liquid that's in there as well, yes?
Yeah, let's do that, because, good question, Jill, because years ago, when I was writing Naples at Table, which was in the 90s, tomatoes were packed with juice. And you did have to drain, well, you didn't have to, but I always drained them then. And you could freeze the juice and put it in soup. But these days, it's different. These days, I haven't opened a can of tomatoes in a long, long time that wasn't packed with puree. And you don't want to, you want to use that puree. It's perfectly good tomato puree. So I just dump the whole can. In fact, I use a rubber silicone spatula to scrape out the last drops in the can, because it's good drops. So that's it. And then once crushed, I add, you probably have to add a big pinch of salt, at least. And then I use hot pepper. I use, yesterday I used one small Calabrian red pepper dried. I didn't use the seeds in that. I was afraid. Sometimes it's really intense. But I did use the whole pepper, and it did not was not too much even for the faint of heart. I could have used another one myself. And that's it. Simmer that for... Everybody's always amazed. That you just simmer that for 10 to 12, 15 minutes at the very most in an open skillet at a medium-low temperature so that it just sort of perks away. It doesn't really boil. Yeah, well, I mean it boils in the sense that bubbles come to the top, but it's not boiling.
Right.
And usually in 10, 12 minutes, it's thick enough. That's how you judge if it's done and taste it. Of course, you might want to adjust the salt and pepper. You shouldn't have to adjust much else. And that's a good amatriciana, I think. And the pork is cooked into the sauce, not crisped and
right.
put on the top. But people do it that way. I kept being asked yesterday, well, is this the traditional way? I said, you know, I'm not sure there is any more a traditional way for this or that. First of all, they're Italians. They argue about everything. So they certainly will argue about their... I know. I've been part of some of these discussions about the true amatriciana, the true whatever, whatever. Truth be told, my favorite Roman pasta is the one called alla gricia. And nobody knows where this word gricia comes from. I've read a lot of stories, but it's just... And then what it is, it's also called sometimes amatriciana in bianco, white amatriciana, because it's pork product and pecorino cheese, and I suppose you could even put a little onion in, although I don't when I make this, and pasta. So if you add the fat to the cheese, it's much easier, by the way, to get a nice emulsion.
Right.
And in fact, I have some Roman friends who insist that it's, well, some will tell you it's cheating to put in any fat in your cacio e pepe to make it smoother, and others will tell you it's essential.
And I never, the person who made it here, I never investigated that. I should have done.
Anyway, I have to remind everybody, if you're buying a frozen turkey, you need a day. To defrost it, you need one day for every 4 pounds. So about the smallest turkey you can buy is 12 pounds. Figure 3 days in your refrigerator before you can cook it. If it's, and then go on from there. 4 days if it's a 16-pound turkey, which is a pretty typical size too. But a lot of people forget that it takes that long to defrost a turkey properly in the refrigerator. Not at room temperature. You shouldn't defrost the turkey at room temperature. You could defrost it by submerging it in a plastic bag in a big, big sink full of cold water, changing the water pretty regularly as it gets colder from this enormous ice cube you put in the middle. But, just plan on that. So maybe next week I'll give you... This is something I think I'm going to make for Thanksgiving. Maybe the only thing I have to make for Thanksgiving, which is butternut squash gnocchi. And I've done this before, and I did it for a family grouping a number of years ago, but only about half of them got it. I mean, they weren't thrilled with squash gnocchi, but I'm thrilled with squash gnocchi, so I'm going to tell you about them. Okay.
Okay.
After all cooking all this pasta yesterday, we still had it didn't get eaten.
It did not. I'll be right over.
Not while we were cooking pasta all day.
Yeah.
I mean, we went through 4 pounds of pasta. So, but there was leftovers. So I made a frittata this morning with the leftover spaghetti, 6 extra large eggs that I had in the fridge, and I don't know, it was well over a quart of cacio e pepe mixed with a little bit of amatriciana mixed with a little bit of carbonara. All three together. But
mostly you dumped
cacio
it all
in. Mostly I dumped it all in. So I mixed it all up with 6 beaten eggs. Didn't need to add any other seasoning. And then cooked it in my no-stick skillet. And it came out great. And just before I got on with you, I had a piece.
Oh,
That's all I can say. It was great. It was still a little warm.
All right.
These things tend to get a little heavy as they sit.
I can see that.
Yeah, no. But this one's not going to be. The proportions of spaghetti and spaghetti frittata. It's a real thing. I didn't make it up.
Okay.
So next week, more on Thanksgiving, I suppose. It's creeping
probably. That seems to be the tradition.
I mean, already I know my downstairs neighbor who always needs hand-holding for such occasions. She's already called me to find out, can I freeze this? Can I freeze that? And you know what? Sometimes yes, and a lot of times no.
I know. There's some basic stuff like just starting with the, it takes that long. The 4 pounds, one day for four pounds.
Yeah, 1 day for every 4 pounds
that's
of your turkey, and as the smallest ones are usually 12 pounds,
right.
We're talking at least 3 days. Now, we're not talking about counting Thanksgiving as one of those days either. So Thanksgiving is on Thursday. You better put that turkey in the refrigerator on Sunday.
Right.
And then it'll be ready to cook on Thursday. And by the way, once it's defrosted, you can keep it for a few days.
Yeah.
So if you want to do that ahead, you can. I prefer, if I'm eating turkey at all, which I have a hunch we're not going to this year, I don't know what we're doing, but we have, you know, pescatarian, a vegetarian. It's that situation. A no-eater, I don't like anything.
Whatever.
Okay, kids, everybody, have a great week.
This has been Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, the food maverick, the food guy on Robin Hood Radio.